Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth in the book of Acts. Acts means action. And one of the wonderful things about reading and studying the book of Acts is it's just powerfully filled with action. Mm. People going and doing and saying, and it's exciting. You can almost picture the scenes in your mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And the sheer number of people that are getting to work and acting upon what they're hearing is always amazing to me in the book of Acts.
So last episode, we talked about the mighty rushing wind and the cloven tongues of fire and the speaking in tongues. And we promised you that this episode, we'd begin to explain what all does that mean? You've heard the term speaking in tongues, and I know that even saying that term would elicit a bit of controversy because different people have different views about what is speaking in tongues. Our charismatic friends would talk about a heavenly language used to communicate with God. And I don't believe that, but I have friends that do.
Sure.
So I want to be careful to let's let the Bible be our arbitrator, our arbiter, mm-hmm. and let's at least decide, you know, what is happening in this chapter.
Yes.
Rather than going everywhere else, let's just look at what does the Bible tell us about speaking in tongues in this chapter at least. Okay,
yeah.
So verse 5, where the Bible says, Acts 2 and verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. So that's hyperbole to say there are people from all different places and languages and countries. And why? Well, they're there to celebrate the feast of Pentecost. And the Bible says, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. Now, when was noised abroad?
Yeah, when the news about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Holy Spirit's, that sound that we talked about the last time, the sound.
So it could have been they actually heard the sound.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think so. And the sight, you know, the fire, the cloven tongues of fire, that now has gotten out. People have heard about it. And so they want to hear more about it.
Or, and it could be an or it could be an and.
Yeah, sure.
And the fact that they're speaking in these languages.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to attract immediate attention.
Of
so
course.
News begins to spread like wildfire. Now, remember, my friends, this is the feast time. The population of Jerusalem has burgeoned because of the feast. And the many people are out, so we're going to find out later on. It's the hour of prayer. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So people are everywhere anyway. So, the buzz goes through the crowd.
Yeah. And when you think about, you know, that's 120 people that have been affected by this, you know, so the multiplication that takes place there.
The aggregate effect.
Right.
That's a really good point. Verse 6. So when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, confused. They couldn't figure it out. And here's what they couldn't figure out. Because that every man heard them speak in his own language, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And then the Bible actually lists a number of the tongues that were represented, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, so that would be out to the east and Judea, that's close to home, Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, that's up in Turkey, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, this is northern Africa, Cyrene, stranger of Rome, so all the way over to Italy and Jews and proselytes, so there are people from everywhere, mm-hmm. And what amazes them, what they're marveling about, is that they're hearing their own language by people that are not language adept.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because, you know, they point out that they're Galileans. And one of the things that history would tell us is that Galileans had trouble with the language. You know, they were kind of made fun of because they couldn't speak the language as well as others. And so now here they are speaking in all different kinds of languages. And as you look at that list that you just read, it's amazing to me just how many different regions and countries are represented here on this day, that the Holy Spirit has moved upon them and allowed them to speak in all those different languages.
It really is amazing. Two things strike me immediately. Number one, you know, Peter was singled out at the fire by his language.
Yeah.
No, we know that you're one of them. Your speech betrays you.
Yeah.
So they knew he had that Galilean accent.
Yeah.
So in a negative sense, Peter's tongue got himself in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's aided by the Holy Spirit of God, it's going to be his tongue that is his greatest weapon.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the boldness that we see Peter speak with, you know, here at Pentecost is quite amazing when you contrast it with the event that you were just talking about, where he cowers, you know, at the hands of just a few people there around the fire that night.
So if I were to say to you, the Tower of Babel, yeah, what would be the first thing that come to your mind?
Languages.
Yeah, languages.
The languages being confounded.
So here are people that are full of pride. Here are people that believe that they can climb their way to God.
Yeah.
They don't need God. They can become their own God. And God to separate them. The purpose was separation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
God to separate them confounds their languages. So what does the sinful pride of man do? It causes separation, division, you know, all of it.
Yeah.
And yet, what does the gospel do?
Yeah.
The gospel brings all languages together.
Right.
It's almost like Pentecost is the anti-Babel.
Mm.
Pentecost is what grace can do. Babel is the way man confuses things, and Pentecost is how God heals things.
Yeah, that's a beautiful picture. And as you were talking, I thought about this in relation to, you know, our interpersonal relationships even. You know, Jesus was the great restorer of relationships. So mankind had broken their relationship, of course, there at the Tower of Babel, and all throughout history, mankind has this broken relationship, this broken fellowship with God. Jesus comes, he dies on the cross for our sins. He now is restoring that fellowship. And so, you know, this is all about a restoration to God. God's bringing everybody back to himself here through the Holy Spirit's ministry.
So the purpose of the tongues, my friends, and don't forget this, is not to communicate the gospel. The purpose of the tongues is to get their attention,
mm-hmm.
because they're hearing everyone praising God with the speaking of tongues. So it speaks to them in two ways. Number one, it speaks to them that this must be a God thing because Galileans can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, how heartwarming, because there's nothing as touching to a person's heart than to hear things spoken in their heart language.
Yeah.
So they all know Greek. Peter's about to preach to them in Greek.
Right.
Peter doesn't preach them in tongues.
Right,
preaches them in the lingua franca of the world,
yes.
the Greek language.
Yep.
But the fact is they've heard praise to God in their own language.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks to God's love for every people group.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, God wanted to get their attention, and he knew exactly how to do it. And he does the same thing for us today. He wants to get our attention, but it's through the power of preaching that, you know, he speaks to people.
So you've been to some foreign countries, Josh.
Sure.
And when you go to a foreign country, it's amazing how this works. You feel out of sorts a little bit. It's not home. You don't feel like you're at home. I mean, I love to travel, yeah, but it's different. And there's just something special about maybe you're at a McDonald's or you're just walking down the main city street and you'll hear other people speak English.
Yeah.
And you hear it above the crowd.
Right, right.
And you immediately go over to those people. Where are you from?
Yeah.
Where are you from? And they could be from Alaska.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you're from Virginia, but you're like, yeah, I'm from the United States too.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
There's just something about language that brings people together, sure, and speaks to the heart.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, even if you see a sign sometimes in English, you're like, oh man, I can associate with that. But yeah, it brings people together. It helps us rally around each other when we have that commonality. And so certainly hearing, you know, these disciples speak in their own language drew them in this moment.
So to backtrack just a bit, so what is the purpose of the miraculous gift of tongues in Acts 2? Okay, would it be safe to say that the purpose for the miraculous gift of tongues is to demonstrate to unbelieving Jews that God was at work and that the gospel message was authentic.
Mm.
I think that's the point to be made.
Yeah.
These are Jews. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Jews require a sign.
Yeah.
So this is a sign to unbelieving Jews that the gospel is authentic, and these simple Galilean messengers are real.
Right.
So it's a sign. And what's interesting about that is you'll see the tongues again in Acts 8 and in Acts 10. And in every case, it's a sign to the Jews that God is at work. He's at work among Jews in Acts 2. He's at work among Samaritans in Acts 8. He's at work among Gentiles in Acts 10, Cornelius.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in each case, it's this. And then again in Acts 19, you're going to see that this is a sign that God is using. It's not, now we can argue about other passages, listeners, but please understand, at least right here, this is the passage we're talking about. This is not a heavenly ecstatic language. These are languages unknown to the speaker, but known to the hearer, a supernatural work of God that is causing unbelieving Jews to take notice that God's at work.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, is understanding the purpose of the tongues in this passage. And, you know, perhaps without hearing those disciples speaking in their language, they would have dismissed the message that they're about to hear as false.
So let's finish that. I'm glad you said that, because in just the limited time we have, let me just read these last three verses. So Cretes and Arabians, the last two groups I didn't read before, verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So the 120 are not preaching. They're simply praising God, mm-hmm, you know, speaking about the wonderful works of God. And people are able to hear that in their own language. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? So the speaking in tongues was not clarifying information to them, but was simply getting their attention. It was an attention getter.
Yes.
It's causing them to ask questions like, what's going on? What's happening here? Something, God's doing something. Then watch verse 13, others. So there's always the sincere seeker. Then there's always like Debbie Downer, you know, Scotty Skeptic. And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Ah, they're just drunk. But, you know, if drinking could make me speak another language, you know, I think I'd go to the bar right now. It'd be a whole lot better than, you know, Rosetta Stone.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I think this speaks to the point that we've made the entire time. And that is that, you know, this was the attention getter. This was God's sign to them so that they could come and hear Peter and what he's about to proclaim in the following verses.
And that's what we're going to talk about next episode, my friends. What is Peter about to proclaim? Okay, the messengers are spirit filled. God's spirit has come based upon the promise of Jesus. The people are sufficiently aroused in their attention. So now the stage has been set. What will Peter say? So you're going to have to come back next episode. We'll talk about that. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. Hope you take an opportunity today to tell someone about Jesus. Thanks again for listening. God bless, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.